You're listening to Journey Church Podcast. At Journey Church, our vision is to see dreams discovered and built, and broken dreams rediscovered and rebuilt. Our mission is to love God, His Word, and His world. For more information on how to connect with us, please stay tuned following the message. Now, we trust that you're blessed by the following presentation.
If you got your Bibles here this morning, we're going to hang out in the fourth chapter of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to look at the 6th and 7th verse here this morning. We got them for you on the screen. If you're following along with us on the Journey Church app, we've got them right there as well. All the scriptures and main points of the talk, we got you covered. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. I'm going to read out of the New American Standard Bible this morning. And it says this: be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, other translations may say the word comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. It is rich, Lord. It is powerful. It is so valuable. Lord, I thank you for what we gain from it, Lord, what we can have in the context of impact when we receive it and live it out. And Lord, I pray that would be our passion here today, that we would live out what we take in here today. Guide me, I pray, as I give it. I want to be an echo of what you're saying to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Doug, if you would, put the first part of that verse up there for me, my brother. It says this: be anxious for nothing. How you doing on that part? I mean, let's just hang out there for a second. How are you doing when you see the words "be anxious for nothing" in your life? Be anxious. Now, the word "anxious" here in this verse comes from a Greek word here, pronounced "metimnaio." Metimnaio, it's a Greek word that literally translates to be troubled with cares. So when you see this word anxious, it's the Greek word metimnaio, which translates to be troubled with cares. Now that's a statement that has a root meaning in itself. I'm going hermeneutics here, so just to bypass it, just trust me on the study here, which root down to two different words, worry and fear, which really hold hands to create this word anxious that we see here in this scripture. Worry and fear, which are two words I know quite well in my life. Since we're on the last, thank God, message in this Confessions of a Pastor series. And by the way, thanks for stepping on my face on the way in, because there are a couple shoe marks that look intentional and not accidental. Just a scratch mark where it was like somebody did that. And thank you, by the way. Amen. I can't wait to get out of this series. Amen. You know, worry and fear are two things that I would just confess to you as your pastor that I struggle with. I can have great worry in my life, and I can embrace great fear in my life. I mean, it is just a struggle inside of my life. Fear, I can get easily fearful. I don't know if it where it rooted from. Perhaps it was my family that allowed me to watch The Exorcist when I was 10. I don't know. I'll throw my family under the bus on that one. I mean, I am fearful now in my life. I slept on the couch in my living room for about 4 months along with my sister after that movie. And you know, I can run from danger, man. If we're together and there is danger in front of us, I will run and run away from you and everything. I get scared and fearful very easily. I know I've told this story before, but for the sake of just hearing again, hear it again. My family and I went to Gatlinburg about 5 years ago, and we went down the strip. I love Gatlinburg. It's like Branson on steroids, surrounded by even more beautiful mountains. It's a beautiful, awesome place to just visit. And in the strip of Gatlinburg, there is Ripley's, believe it or not, haunted house. Now, I'm not a haunted house fan, because I don't like him. And when Ripley's puts on a haunted house, it's different. I mean, they bring you into a funeral home, and you don't even, it looks like the Grim Reaper in the coffin, and they're sharing with you all the, I mean, it's just nuts and scary, and then they tell you, all right, you got to go through this. I mean, that levels, you know, that you got, this is like three stories of a haunted house, and so we're going, and nobody wanted to go first. I didn't want to go first, and they said, you know, we had about six people. It was myself, my brother-in-law, my sister, my son, and her daughter, and I believe that was it, that was in this haunted house, and were you in this? Javen was in it too. I'm sorry, I forgot you. But Javen was with us, and I remember nobody led, and they put me in the lead role, and I'm you know, we got to hold on to the shirt that's in front of us, and so we're going down corners and hallways, and we're seeing things that have been burned into my memory forever, and I'm just freaking out, and there's bodies and things that are happening, and then we get in this room that's completely dark, and we don't know where it is, and so we just got to start feeling the walls, and you don't know what you're getting ready to feel. How many know what I'm talking about? This is not God right here for anybody to have to, and I'm feeling the wall, and I realize that we have felt a circle room, and we've gone around about two times, so I'm like, now what are we going to do? You know, and then we start feeling the body, and then there's a hole. There's like a crawl space, and so then we got to go down through the crawl space, and people are trying to bite at us and throw things at us and saying things to us, and I just could not get out of this place any faster. And we finally get to the point where we're down the last hall, and there's an elevator, and it opens, and smoke comes out of the elevator, and I don't know if freak creatures ran out, but that elevator is our way of escape. And as soon as we turn the hallway, I start headed down toward the elevator, and all of a sudden I hear the rip roar of a chainsaw. Boom! And there's the guy of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And he has got his mask, and he's crazy, and he starts chasing. And I am running at such a level that the people that are holding onto my shirt are holding me back. So I'm just shaking them off so that I can get in this, so I can run into this elevator. And I remember I got in first, and I'm just trying to close it even on the people that I'm with. And I'm just wanting to get out of there to get to safety because the Texas Chainsaw Massacre is coming at us, that guy. And I remember my son, Javen, got in there, but Micah was last, and he, you know, he's wearing mandals, the Nike mandals, is that what he calls them? And you know, because those are cool, those are hip. But when you're running from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre guy, that's not going to work. And so his mandal flew off. And then he looks at me, he's like, Dad, my shoe. Because the only way to get your shoe is to run toward the guy that's running at you with the chainsaw. And I'm looking at him like, you know, he's looking to a dad, you know, like, help. And I'm like, I'm just trying to close the elevator door, man. Like, you're on your own on that one. I raised you to have faith for your own life. You're going to have to get through this. Amen. I ain't helping you. And he did, though. You ran toward the guy with the chainsaw to get your shoe and made it in the elevator. Give it up for the hero, Micah Heroes. That's heroic. I would have walked around with a limp the whole day, I promise you that. I struggle with fear in any context, really. Worry. Oh, I can worry. Now, I know many of you would hear this type of stuff and be like, shouldn't worry and fear be some of the first things that a pastor should kind of have conquered before he becomes a pastor? Probably, but it's a struggle in my life, man. I can worry like nobody's business. It doesn't matter what it is. I can find a reason to worry about it. And not just worry. I'm talking intensify my worry. I mean, and I know these struggles that I'm kind of using as an example, you understand in your life perhaps too. But now, you know, that I've got a 17-year-old son and you know, he's... Am I the only parent that thinks that every time your kid gets in the car and drives off that's the last time you're ever going to see him? Like, I'm convinced of it. It's just like, that was it. So I like try and take meaningful looks at him because I feel like he's just going to get in a car wreck and die. Like, that's what I think. I imagine that's where worry takes me and stuff like that. And Micah has given me no reason to feel like that. He is such a responsible young man. And just when I'm getting ready to kind of almost conquer those feelings of worry, my other son gets his permit, Javen. And now that worries me. I feel like the Lord himself is worried. Like that's the type of worry I have with him. I mean, I just worry so much. I remember Missy getting sick of my worrisome outlook on life when our daughter was born because I forgot what it was like to have a baby. And so then we have a baby. It's been so long. And so then we're giving it. I'm like, oh, look at this new little life, you know, and it's awesome. And then the doctor's like, all right, you're going to go home, but be careful of SIDS. I'm like, what? SIDS. I forgot what that is. Help me out. What SIDS is. SIDS is sudden infant death syndrome. What? And I was convinced every night Asia was gonna die. Like every night. I mean, I'd be staring at her monitor, and Missy's getting sick of me because I'm just like, she's not moving. She's like, that's because she's sleeping. I'm like, yeah, but I don't see any breathing. She's like, you can't see her breathing. Her lungs are like this tall. Don't worry about it. And I'm just like, no, we gotta wake her up. And I'm like, wake up, baby, you know. And then Missy, you need to hold her and take her back to sleep. You know what I'm saying? But she's alive. But every night I was just, anybody else got kind of these worries, man? It was just every night I was worried. When we started Journey Church, man, if attendance was down 1 week over the other, I was convinced I'd be out of a job in a month. Oh, people are leaving in droves. They're like, you're only less two people. I'm like, oh, it's just a trend. Like I would worry so much. From worrying about those things to worrying about what others think of me to worrying about, man, let me just say it again. I can worry. Doug, I want to go back to the scripture in Philippians. You know, because what Paul is saying here at the top end of this verse is he is showing us the excuses that God is saying we have to have fear and to have worry. And when I read this verse, you know, when I look at this, there isn't an excuse listed. Because the word used here is nothing, nada, ain't one. So when he is saying, be anxious for nothing, worry for nothing, have fear for nothing, what is he saying? He is saying to us today, a person of faith doesn't ever have a justified reason to worry. I'm talking to you, person of faith. I'm talking to me, person of faith. That a believer does not have a reason to ever justify worrying. That in all we experience, in all we encounter, in any challenge, in any problem we face, we don't have an excuse that God would approve of for us to worry. Somebody say a good amen. Now, how many still worry? Right? Hear me today. God has shown me that worries carry with it consequences. Worry cripples progress. Worry creates gripping stress. Worry mutes the voice of faith in our lives. In fact, Jesus said it best in Matthew 6:27. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Man, what a question, because the answer is no. In fact, the opposite of that is true, in that intense worry actually subtracts time off of your life, if you were to ask medical experts. Worry and fear are true enemies to our life, yet we embrace it as believers like they are our dear friends. When God is asking you and I to embrace the opposite of worry and the opposite of fear, which is a word called trust. trust. To trust that God has your life in the scope of his greatest intentions. That no matter what it is you're going through, God is going through it with you. And he can take whatever mess that you are surrounded by and turn it into the greatest message for his glory. There is nothing that surprises the Lord. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. Nothing too difficult for the Lord. And he has your life in his hand. To trust that God is going to take care of you regardless of what you see. It's like those good old-fashioned trust falls. How many have ever done a trust fall before? Amen. Anybody? Who's done it? Who's never done a trust fall that's always wanted to do a trust fall? You're very smart right now. Amen. Because I was looking for somebody. You know, it's just one of those things where you know, you see somebody doing a trust fall and man, Steve Lummer had me do one on our 5th year anniversary at El Shaddai Ranch. I'll never forget it. You know, you're standing on the edge of something where if I were to fall backwards on my own, I mean, severe injury is going to happen. Severe problems are going to ensue if I were just to land. And there are people there, and they're there to catch you. But what you're not allowed to do is look back. You're just supposed to trust the voice that you're hearing saying, fall, we got you, when you can't see them. Go ahead, fall backwards, we got you, when you can't see a single piece of evidence. You can't see it, but they're telling you to do it anyway. When you can't see the provision, but you're told that it's there, and you trust regardless of the senses in your life telling you otherwise, you trust that God has your life at the forefront of his intentions for your life. I can't tell you how many times God has proven my worry wrong. In that he has always had me. He's always been there to catch me. He's always provided for me, regardless of what I don't see. It's always there, right on time. Always. Man, I've got stories and stories and stories of just how God provided for the ministry opportunities that were put in front of me from my days in Bible college that has led me to hear miracle stories that led me to you. And through it all, I've had to trust him that he's provided. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing. This scripture has been so instrumental in my life, not only because of what it says, but where it was said. I don't know if you know this or not, but Paul is writing this verse in a prison cell. Think about this now. He's writing this letter to his church from a prison cell, after having been flogged, after having been beaten, after having been bloodied and broken down with no assurance given to him by the Roman authorities that he will ever see the light of day again. He writes these words, be anxious, have fear for, have worry for nothing. How can he write these words where he is with what he is facing? I mean, we think that when Paul's going to prison that it's just like a small 30-day slap on the wrist sentence. No, when they were put in prison, they were put in prison with the intent of being put to death. Nero wanted Paul's head. And here he is in prison with no guaranteed outlook on the future, and yet he says, be anxious for nothing. How can he say that? Because these words, be anxious for nothing, aren't just words to him. Because scriptures like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 aren't just cute little statements that sound nice to him. They are truths that he lives by. The words that Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, my wife's favorite scripture, ring out. Trust in the Lord. Somebody say trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. He's saying this isn't just something that he says. It's something that he believes. Even in a prison cell, he lives by this creed. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. No matter what you're going through, and he will make straight your path. This is Paul's motto. This is Paul's way of life. This is Paul's mindset in all things. It doesn't matter where you put Paul. You could put him in a prison cell. The prison cell won't shake this man's ability to have faith in a fearful place, with extremely worrisome outcomes facing him, breathing down his neck. You can't shake the man's ability to have faith in a fearful place because he's been here before. Put me in a prison. I've been in a prison cell before. I've run through this routine, and I've seen God provide even in those times, so why wouldn't he provide now? Acts chapter 16, verses 25 through 26, Paul and Silas was with them in the scene this time. Well before this scripture in Philippians, they were thrown into prison for what? Preaching the gospel, putting Jesus first. Putting him as the priority. And it says this, but at about midnight, here they are in the prison cell. Paul and Silas were praying and, the scripture says, singing hymns. Of praise to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And in that atmosphere they created, you know what they did? They turned a prison cell into a church house. They turned a fearful place into a faith-feeding place. They turned a cell into a worship service. You see, when you find yourself in the pit, realize the power of your praise. Here he is. Singing before the Lord with blood dripping down his back, bruised cheekbones and swollen lips, singing before the Lord because he trusts in him. He refuses to let worry have a place where he's placed. And the Bible says in the middle of that worship service, and suddenly, there came a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and I love this, everyone's chains were unfastened. I've learned, Journey Church, that helps me overcome my worship, my worry, is worship. Worship is so immeasurably powerful to me. I don't know what it is. I haven't been able to theologically break it down to the details in how it does what it does for us as Christ followers in the context of its supernatural strength-giving abilities. But worship is a faith-feeding, worry-killing, fear-slaying weapon in your life. 1 Samuel 16, incredible chapter to read, in that Saul, the king at the time, would be, the scripture says, tormented by evil spirits. And the Hebrew language in there, tormented by evil spirits, gives us the impression that what Saul is experiencing in these times of torment are monumental, breathtaking, paralyzing anxieties that are overtaking him. Can't breathe, can't see. He has difficulty just being able to have a grip on his senses. He's just experiencing insane anxiety. And the scripture says that David would visit him and take his harp with him and would begin to worship. And the Bible says instantaneously relief would come to Saul. He would immediately feel better. And the Bible says the evil spirit would leave him. In my life, when worship comes, worry leaves. be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Man, talk about an atmosphere of worship right there. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. If you are in the middle of a trial, and you are in the middle of a challenge, and worry is creeping in, turn your worry into worship and watch the atmosphere change. Watch your mentality change. Watch your thought process change. Watch your frown change. But you got to take the effort to worship in times of worry, and that's what God has taught me. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And I love the results. Are you ready? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts. I love that word, guard. Will guard like somebody standing outside a prison cell. Man, maybe Paul was getting these analogies right where he was. What's a guard's job? You ain't getting out, right? You're staying in. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will be guarded in your hearts and in your minds in Christ Jesus. A lot of us want verse 7 without doing verse 6. You can't have verse 7 until you first do verse 6. And so be encouraged today. And I have done this before. Not had Brittany come and sing where I am, which would be awesome if you're available for those moments. I would just love that. You're going through a time, you text her, she just comes in. What a beautiful name. They're just awesome. It'd be so awesome. But sometimes I just throw in some earbuds and jump on YouTube and pull up a worship song that we sing here, and I'll just watch my worry turn into worship, and confidence and peace just start coming in. It's incredible. And I want to encourage you to make that a part of the culture of your life. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Journey Church Podcast. If you would like prayer or to connect with us in any way, please contact us by email at info@journeychurchmo.com. You can also find more information on service times, events, and more on our website, www.journeychurchmo.com.